I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
At 2:30, we're going to talk about Katie Porter, Democrat candidate, air quotes, leading Democrat candidate for governor in California. You saw that, didn't you?
You know, thank you for putting in air quotes, leading.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was. We haven't taken a poll today. Have you seen the interview?
No.
Good. We'll do it at 2:30.
I saw that it's there.
The fallout. Of course. Yeah. Katie Porter. I saw this and I kept seeing it so much in my feed. I didn't want to watch it. There are things that I'm like, okay, everyone's talking about this, but I don't care. It doesn't affect me. Katie Porter is the governor of California. Could she possibly be worse than Gavin Newsom? If it can't be worse than Gavin Newsom, as far as how it affects me, then I'm not going to give my mental energy over to this because it's probably just going to make me angry or frustrated. That wasn't true. It made me joyful.
But I am interested.
I know, at 2:30. That's what I'm going to say. Like, I don't know. Ryan, you and I have this in common. Like, the more people are like, oh, you got to do this, the more I'm like, no, I don't.
No, thanks.
I don't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm. And then if you don't do it, I'm like, well, now what?
Yeah.
You're against everything. Now what do I do?
So we're gonna play. It's a 3-minute clip, but we're going to go through that at 2:30. We're going to watch it. We're going to break in because I'm so happy that you haven't watched this yet because I can't wait to get your live reaction.
Okay.
The YouTube poll for today, should the Bible be taught in school? Yes or no? Ryan is a yes, briefly because
if you create a vacuum of worldviews, you end up with this. So you always are going to have a worldview that is the dominant one of any sort of institution. I think that Christianity is the best one, but I'm not even advocating that Christianity needs to be the worldview for the institution of education in America. I'm just saying it needs to be taught. Otherwise, you end up with this.
And you say what you referred to what this is secularism.
Secularism.
Bordering into...
into hedonism. And let me also just say, based on your argument...
this isn't brief, but go on.
Let me say that I think that...
I didn't make my argument. I got to reset the table with mine.
Okay, go ahead.
First, let's get to a comment here. Ryan, read this one on the air here real quick.
Eyes Wide Open says, agree with you, Annie.
Thank you for that. I like to hear it in Ryan's voice. I said I don't trust the public education system to teach the Bible. And even when you get into somebody else's comment earlier that we read, said that religions don't even agree on how to teach the Bible. So to hand that over to a public education system, I don't support the idea of a teacher being able to take, get a certification and endorsement is what they call it in a particular field of study, which I would assume that might end up in like a social studies kind of education that you might want to teach American history, but teaching the Bible might get lumped into that. And I'm not okay with that. And even if you were somebody who was the A+ best possible educator you could be on the Bible as a Catholic, there are a lot of people who would want the Bible to be taught, but not in the Catholic variety. And I'm certain that if you are a Bible believing church mass going Catholic, you don't want the Protestant version of the Bible being taught. This is where I believe emphatically that the Bible should be taught in classrooms in a way that your taxpayer dollars are portable with you so that you can choose. That's the separation of church and state for me, is that you're not free from religion. You don't have the right as an American to not be imposed upon when another person's choice is hindered. So I think I should have the choice. There's no reason at all why my tax dollars shouldn't help educate my children. The money that I spend, the $8,000 or whatever it is I spend a year in property taxes, where 90% of it goes to the public education system, I don't get a penny of that. And by taking that money from our household and putting it into the public education system, where we remove our four kids from the desks, the classrooms, the resources, the books, the time and attention that is necessary to educate my kids, there is no good reason why I shouldn't be able to take those dollars that I spend and apply them towards a school that is accredited by the state that educates them in the way that I want them to be educated in. There's classical education that exists that you might want. You might think that's what's best for your kids. There are places that could specialize in special education that might be better for your kid. There are parochial institutions. There are non-parochial but, you know, higher learning institutions. There are all sorts of options that might be better for your child. Why in the world would my money not go to educate my kids? Now, when my kids are all graduated out of school, am I advocating that I no longer have to pay for the public to be educated? Not in this particular argument. But how in the world can anyone else say that other children should be entitled to my education dollars and mine should be excluded from it? That's foolish, and it makes me crazy. And I think the fact that the Bible, as a historical document, being a part of education, if we had that in more classrooms today, if that was being taught in more classrooms today, that we most certainly, I think, would be able to positively influence our culture in a better way. I just don't think it should be pushed into somebody who, A, doesn't believe it at all, or B, believes a different version of it, has been educated in a different way about it, would contradict what a teacher would be saying, and then potentially be tested on it.
Ultimately, what you're saying about school choice is the solution to the problem, and I agree 100% with what you're saying.
What, can you read the comment that's up there on the screen?
Eyes Wide Open says, let me see here, it says, agree with you, Andy. Okay, oh, doggone it, I read it again. You and your tomfoolery.
You wanted a counterpoint?
Yeah, my counterpoint is that even if we didn't go the school choice route, which ultimately, like I said, I think that is the solution, I think that, and your argument was that you want your kids, you're a Lutheran, you don't want your kids to learn sort of a different version of the Bible or Christianity.
It's not that I don't want them to learn it.
Be taught the
well-rounded education, but I can't entrust, you know, people use the word indoctrination. Like, have I indoctrinated my kids into the Lutheran faith? Hold on a second. Indoctrination.
You're looking up the word indoctrination.
The process of teaching a person or a group to accept a set of beliefs uncritically. The uncritically word there is where it becomes kind of a pejorative type of a word. I've raised my kids in the Lutheran church. They've, you know, my older two have gone through the confirmation process, which is where you kind of make the commitment yourself without having adults be like, okay, you're going to church on Sunday. I wouldn't want another person's theological interpretations of the Bible that I have no say over whether they sit in that classroom or not. I wouldn't want that to be an influence.
And so my kids are in the same boat. I mean, we are non-denominational Christians, but we go to a Baptist Christian school. So it's pretty close. There are things even though that they teach there that we would disagree with slightly, but it's not a big deal. I think my point is...
It does still conversation too.
Yeah, and it leads to conversation with my kids and they become critical thinkers. Actually, that's one of the things I love about it. But one of the argument that I would make is twofold. One, that putting our own kids aside, I would rather see society, I'd rather see American kids taught some version of Christianity, even if it's not my own. So if it's Catholic, if it's Lutheran, if it's any version of Christianity, I think that betters society. Now, that doesn't mean that they become Christians. It just means they have an understanding of the worldview, which right now our kids just don't. If you go to public school, you don't at all. And I think that would better society for them to have any Christian worldview, even as an option, than to not have it one at all.
I'm more afraid of bad doctrine than no doctrine.
And that's my second point, is that even if it's a bad teacher, if it's a teacher that is maliciously teaching kids Christianity in the worst possible light.
Which is actually kind of happening right now in schools.
Which is happening, which would happen. That definitely is an issue. I'm not saying it wouldn't be. But I would rather that person just open the Bible, because I believe the Bible is that powerful that even just reading it affects the person reading it. Now, that doesn't mean that anybody's going to go, boom, oh my gosh, I believe in Jesus. But it does affect them in a way that I am willing to take the loss just to get the gain of getting the Word of God out there. So I think all of that said is why I say yes to this poll.
Rick says, Annie, would you be opposed to a class that authoritatively laid out the Bible and the comparative views of each different faith? I mean, it's just a really good example. Let's go secular with this for a second. Can you not look at American history and interpret it in wildly different ways and shape worldviews for the rest of this of an individual student's life based on the predicate or foundation that you have in your mind about the goodness or the badness, the inherent truth that exists, or the I think that the Bible does, like, when you're reading the Bible, you should be questioning things. You should be asking questions. You should be searching for answers. But if I'm looking at history, and I it's the luck of the draw what public educator you get as to whether or not you're going to leave that thinking America is a good country or a terrible country. I don't want that power in the hands. I don't want that luck of the draw power in the hands of an educator, public educator.
Well, I would say that one of the reasons that you do have people who teach that American history is terrible versus people who teach that it's great is partially because we don't have a common worldview. And this would actually solve some of that if we went back to a common worldview.
You're also talking about it as a worldview, and you were saying, like, we do have this education in schools right now. It's a secular, it's a hedonistic in some cases, at the extremes.
Yeah.
Way that children are influenced and educated. To me, the solution isn't to say, you know, we've got this bin of publicly educated kids and we got to get the Bible in there. What I'm saying is we got to get the kids out of a system they're forced into so that parents can choose to put them in the places where they will thrive the most. And there will be kids who I know so many of these families right now. I won't name their names, but some of them are listening and they know that this is who they are. They're not Lutheran. They may be apathetically church going when it's required Christians, maybe a little unsure, but they know that a Lutheran education in a Lutheran school is, in most cases that I've experienced, superior. Due to circumstances, just due to the teacher to student ratio, due to the environment and the parameters that you can teach in a Lutheran school, it's just different than in a public school. And I would assume that the Baptist faith-based, non-denominational or whatever Christian school that your kids are, I bet it's all the same kinds of things. The foundation and the context that your kids get to learn in is way different than the public school. And it creates an environment where kids can thrive in the ability to learn. And there's more freedom in connection that you have as a parent and as a family with the teachers. It's just more personal. It's more connected. And, I send my kids to Lutheran school. I went to Lutheran schools, and I'm so grateful for that. Instead of saying the Bible has to be in those public schools, I want to say the kids don't have to be in those public schools, and they should have the financial backing by way of what they're putting in the system to make that choice. And for a lot of people, that choice is still going to be public schools, even for Christians who maybe believe as much as the person who's sending their kids to a parochial school that private or that public education, for whatever particular reason, is valuable. Maybe the school district is excellent and they just want that for their kid, the size, the scope, whatever it might be. That should be the choice of the family. I get real nervous handing the Bible over to people to talk to my kids about it, because I feel like that becomes the devil's playground in many cases. Brad, what are your thoughts on it?
Well, I'm glad you went before me because I didn't want to steal your thunder, because I'm with you on this one. I do not trust the public school education system to be able to rightly teach the scriptures. I think you went farther in something that I didn't think, but I just didn't think they could do a good job. But I think you went farther in saying that, well, your kids would be Lutheran. Ryan's kids are non-denominational. If I had children, they would be Free Will Baptist. There's different doctrinal differences there, and you don't know. I mean, you might have a really good Bible teacher, but they get them teaching a doctrine that you don't want your kids learning, or that you have to unprogram so that you can teach them the doctrine that you believe is true based on the scriptures. That's a lot of work. And so then whenever you say school choice, kids can go out, parents can pick, okay, I want my kid to go to a Baptist school. I want my kid to go to a Lutheran school. I want my kid to go to a Catholic school. And then the public provides the public funding for education. They don't have to go to the same school. And if you're an atheist and you don't want your kids going to religious school at all, that option then remains on the table for you as well. So yeah, I think you're right, Annie. No, I don't want the Bible being taught in public school because I don't think that it'll be handled properly. And then I think the right answer, like you said, is definitely school choice.
And I would say, too, that while Ryan's kids are going to non-denominational? Am I saying that right?
No, it's a Baptist.
It's Baptist.
Yeah.
While your kids are going to a Baptist school and my kids are going to Lutheran school, they'll be in heaven together. And I have mm-hmm. no doubt about that mm-hmm. whatsoever. So, like, the denominal, I don't want people to hear, like, oh, does Annie just think that, like, the Lutheran's the only way to go? Absolutely not. I will direct you to the thief on the cross who had not professed a denomination, who had done sins that were great enough that he was being put to death. And yet Jesus said, without any sort of confession or ritual or communion or anything today, you'll be with me in paradise. So with that being said, I don't think the denominations are like ticket punches to get into heaven, but it does matter. In your faith walk, you got to have something. You got to have some path that you walk on, and you want to be around people who are like-minded so you can grow in that regard. I'll add, Brian emailed me and said, Annie, how about as a literature course, plus the Word of God does not return void? And I think that's kind of what you're mm-hmm. saying, Ryan.
Would be the core of what I'm saying.
Yeah, that was a very elegant way of saying it.
I would say, and great comments, too. There's one here, Annie, if you wouldn't mind reading that.
I can't read.
No? Here's another one.
I went to public school for 1 year. I don't know how to read those words.
If you can't read that one, maybe this one.
Hey, no? Knock it off, people.
No? Okay.
This is Annie's great. She's why I listen to the show.
No. Tune into the live stream.
No. I don't. I can't see either of my eyes.
What's wrong with your eyes all of a sudden?
To put clay on them.
Here, just read this one.
I can just see it's a crying face and your name. That's all I see.
Brad, would you mind reading that, or do we need to Ethan?
I would mind.
Oh. It's a struggle.
See, I was fine
time
reading
to get
the ones that were in praise of Annie. And now look at what's happening.
Wait a second. One more here. Go ahead, Ryan. What's that one say?
I can't read that one.
It says
Annie is great. Oh, see how easy that was?
Thank you. Yeah. I can say that. Annie is great. Okay, some people agree with you. I kind of agree with you, but not enough to sacrifice a really good case for school choice and my obnoxious amount of taxpayer dollars that I would really love to apply to tuition for my children. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go away.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Conservative.
Hold up. Check it out.
Sports and local.
Tickle Me Ethan's frothy news puddle.
This is the worst one. Shame on you. Stop giggling like that. That's worse. It's so creepy.
I like that one. That's a good one. I forgot that it starts with Tickle Me Ethan. I always remember frothy news puddle.
Oh, it's awful. Change the subject, Ethan. Come on.
Yeah, that one might be the worst one. No, although there are quite a few contestants for
he
it.
He said just wait.
Oh, boy. Annie, are you, how close are you to getting into Christmas mode?
I'm there.
You're already there.
I'm now deciding, because I haven't put up any fall or Halloween decorations, we're like days away from me not putting up anything fall and going straight into Christmas.
Tickle Me Annie's frothy nog puddle.
Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh.
I quit.
What do I do with that?
You ignore it.
I saw something earlier about the big Christmas tree in Pittsburgh already being put up.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which just makes me absolutely sick.
They know how to party in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
It's where I was at the furry convention.
Yep.
Speaking of Christmas in St. Louis.
When are some giant squirrels ever getting that tree? Get out of there, you kids. Quit having
I'm totally
relations.
A squirrel, too.
It'd be more likely of the cats.
Quit having
knocking
relations
it over.
In the public tree.
Relations?
Quit
what is
puddles.
Wrong with you?
Oh, it's what two people in squirrel costumes do.
Hey, Ethan, take this back now.
Anheuser-Busch is currently looking to hire workers ahead of its annual Brewery Lights holiday celebration. The company held its first two hiring events Tuesday at the Anheuser-Busch Tour Center and Beer Garden. And another hiring event is planned for today, currently going on until 6 o'clock. So if you have interest, go
to... Are these
to
seasonal jobs or permanent jobs?
Seasonal, okay. As far as I know, Ryan. Annie, you sent me this story either yesterday or this morning regarding Cardinal Ritter's high school football team being hit with pepper spray when a fight broke out on the field after a game this past weekend that was played in Massillon, Ohio. I guess the Massillon Police Department said that Cardinal Ritter was, they were the security for the game against Massillon Washington High School, and the local security hit them with pepper spray when a fight broke out on the field. Officers gave lawful orders, it says, on multiple occasions for Cardinal Ritter's players to leave the field and head toward their locker room, and apparently one of the opponent's players' face masks was grabbed. He was surrounded and then chased by Cardinal Ritter players. Several eyewitnesses saying that they had never seen anything like that. Kids are yelling out, "Mom, I got maced," and there's chaos going on. And now I guess Cardinal Ritter is helping parents get more information. It sounds like there could potentially be some lawsuits from this.
So they were the teams were sparring a little
after the game had concluded, as far as I know.
Question for the room: should football players in high school be able to be dropping F-bombs all over the place? Like, should that be just acceptable behavior at this point?
Cursing in school?
On the field.
On the field.
I would say no, but I also am not sure how you police it.
Yeah, I mean, it's unsportsmanlike conduct, but like, how many flags?
I guess,
carry?
But I don't know. I would say no. You should not be able to do that.
Ethan, what would the freaking AD say? That's
freaking AD would side with you. I think I do as well. My question is just how do you police it? You know, when I was in high school, if the referee caught us cursing, it was a yellow card in soccer.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL, this probably was 10 years ago that they made this rule. But if you...
It's really
say,
an example for us all to follow.
If you say the N-word, though, in the NFL now, there is a... There, you do get a flag for that. That rule was probably added 10 years ago now.
Really? That was a thing?
like use not like in African American culture, it is used commonly.
Okay,
not as a racist derogatory term. No.
So just to be clear, nobody is allowed to use that word in the NFL. Correct.
Correct.
I was just say, I don't know if they have time to like parse out the intent across party lines, if you will.
Right.
But like for football, yeah. the culture of these kids, and I know, I have quite a few friends who officiate football at the high school level, at the top high school level around here. And did you see East St. Louis beat Edwardsville High School this past weekend 55-0, and Coach Drinkowitz, the Mizzou football coach, helicoptered in to Edwardsville to be at that game.
He's been doing that almost every weekend since the start of the season. That's kind of become his thing.
Is he
in the St. Louis area?
Just to done wherever?
Multiple times. Yeah, to go watch recruits.
But I mean, I just highlight that because that was kind of an interesting local thing. But that's every other word is the F word on a football field in high school. Hmm. And you say, how do you police it? Well, you just do, or you accept it. Isn't it one or the other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're culturally okay with it now. And I don't understand why football players...
We just kind of became okay with it. I don't know that anybody's like, yeah, that's fine.
Yes, because we socially accept it now. But why is it okay on a football field for kids to be yelling the F word at each other celebratorily, maybe yelling at themselves or maybe yelling at... I mean, if you're yelling at the other players, then that's probably unsportsmanlike conduct, not because of the word, but because of the conduct. But why is it okay for football players to do that on the field and not in the classroom?
Yeah, and I think the instruction should be that they have to change that word to farts every time. You can yell farts all you want.
Fudge brownies. Fudge like sticks.
You score a touchdown, you just yell farts.
Can I tell farts, a quick story? Molly, I was laying on the couch the other day after we got done with everything for the day, and I'm laying there, and Molly comes up. She just wants to be near me lately. And she's kind of playing with something by herself. Nobody's around her. And she goes, Mom, can I say what the hell? And I go, no. She goes, okay. Can I say what the heck? And I'm like, yeah. Okay. And I have a pretty good idea where she's hearing that from. And I'm not going to out that person on the air, but can I say what the hell? She's four. Molly is four. No, you cannot.
Maybe just while she's four, while it's cute. At five, you're like, nah,
Mommy,
inappropriate.
Can I say what the hell? It's just like, oh, gosh.
It's just a funny question.
Yeah, and she says that, and I'm like, what the hell?
Where are you getting this from?
Yeah. Oh, man. Every once in a while, your kids will say something. It might just be a phrase or even like a mannerism that they do.
Oh, I know.
And then you catch yourself later. Like, you're like, where did they get that from? And then it'll be like weeks later, and you'll do that exact thing, and you'll go, oh, that's me. I had no idea. You see it in your kids.
Mine are 11. They're starting to grow out of some of those mispronunciations and things. So there's a couple left that I'm like, nope, not correcting
not
that.
Oh,
every
sure.
time we go to get chicken nuggets at McDonald's, they want the tangy barbecue. And I'm like, it's so
not
cute.
Not tangy.
It's still cute. It's
tangy. Ethan, one more before we wrap.
Yeah, the St. Louis Zoo is welcoming a new resident, Charlie, a Komodo dragon.
Aww. Oh, Charlie.
New to the zoo at the end of September, but not available for the public to see yet. The six-year-old reptile is the first one to live in the newly renovated herpetarium at the St. Louis Zoo, and it marks the first Komodo dragon in St. Louis in over 12 years. Beginning on October 20th, the Komodo dragon will be available to visit during regular hours.
I'll have my own Charlie at home to visit.
Will Charlie want to go see Charlie?
I don't have any idea. How big is the Komodo dragon get?
They can get pretty big. Pretty big in size.
Yeah, fun fact, those are the most fun lizards to ride in the wild.
They because they're don't the ones that. That'll kill you, right?
Danger's fun.
Katie Porter in her epic interview, if you can even call it that, next here on the Andy Fry Show. Don't go away.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you know about Katie Porter, Representative Katie Porter?
I know she lost to Adam Schiff running for Senate.
She is so unlikable.
That I don't even know that. Oh. I know that she's a darling of the far left. Like Adam Schiff was considered moderate left compared to Katie Porter, which is crazy.
She is the representative currently of the 47th district, and she's running for governor. And there have been stories. It's hard to find the stories right now because there are so many new stories about her that I'm going to have to do a little digging. There's so many stories of her having really, really difficult times with her staff. Like, her own people do not like her. They don't stay working with her. She's a bit of a mean girl. And those stories have been out there before. So she's running for governor. She's a Democrat. She's very, very, like you said, darling of the far left. She's doing an interview with an investigative reporter, CBS Los Angeles. And I just want to say, before we get too far into the conversation about this interview, how she and her people agreed to the aesthetic setup of this interview. They had to know this was going to go poorly.
Yeah. Why are they interviewing her in the control room?
They're in the control room. The camera it's kind of a tight two shot on them. They're sitting knee to knee, basically.
Yeah, they're real
facing
close.
Each other. So they're perpendicular to the camera. And the light, at one point they show the setup, the light is directly on top of them. So it's a dark room, because control rooms are traditionally kind of darker because you're looking at all these screens and everything. The light is so harsh on their face, especially on Katie Porter's face. And it's just an incredibly unflattering everything, just from the looks of it, before you actually get into the substance of it. So she's having this... What?
I'm sorry, but I'm just realizing you're in a TV studio.
Yeah.
You can see on the monitors that there are studios.
Yeah.
And they chose to do it in the control room.
Yes. I mean, this is not flattering in any way, shape, or form for Katie Porter. And we haven't pushed play yet. So she's doing an interview. It's a local news station, but it's Los Angeles, CBS Los Angeles. So it's a big, obviously, big local news outlet. And this investigative reporter, who I commend so much for the way she handled this interview, is asking her questions. And it's like a series of questions that she's asking all of the candidates who are in the race for governor for the Democratic primary. Let's listen in.
What do you say to the 40% of California voters who you'll need in order to win who voted for Trump?
How would I need them in order to win, ma'am?
Well, unless you think you're going to get 60% of the vote. You think you'll get 60%. Everybody who did not vote for Trump will vote for you. That's what you're thinking.
In a general election? Yes. If it is me versus a Republican, I think that I will win the people who did not vote for Trump.
What if it's you versus another Democrat?
I don't intend that to be the case.
So in California, don't they have that like jungle primary mm-hmm. thing or whatever, where everybody runs and then the top two vote getters get to compete?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when she says, what if it's you against another Democrat, that's not something that we really experience here in Missouri or Illinois. But the possibility exists that she could be running.
That's very much a possibility.
It's a likelihood.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a likelihood.
So she, if you haven't seen this yet, how would you describe Katie Porter's demeanor here?
I don't know, smug?
Smug is a good word. Yes, very off-put.
So how do you not intend that to be the case? Are you going to ask them not to run?
No, I'm saying I'm going to build the support. I have the support already in terms of name recognition. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do the very best I can to make sure that we get through this primary in a really strong position. But let me be clear with you. I represented Orange County. I represented a purple area. Mm-hmm. I have stood on my own two feet and won Republican votes before. That's not something every candidate in this race can say. If you're from a deep blue area, if you're from LA or you're from Oakland, you don't have an experience.
But you just said you don't need those Trump voters.
Well, you asked me if I needed them to win.
So you don't.
I feel like this is unnecessarily argumentative.
Okay, pause. It is unnecessarily argumentative, but girl, that's because of you.
This is a strange interview.
For the listeners that can't see this, how would you describe the reporter's demeanor?
Just comfortable. I mean, she's just sort of sitting there.
She's not being aggressive. She's not like.
No.
There's nothing about what she's doing that is making this. Hostile.
What is your question?
The question is the same thing I asked everybody.
She points
that
to the
this
paper.
Is being called the empowering voters to stop Trump's power grab. Every other
Correct.
Candidate has answered this question. This is not
argumentative. And I said I support it.
So, and the question is, what do you say to the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
Oh, I'm happy to say that. It's the do you need them to win part that I don't understand. I'm happy to answer the question as you have it written, and I'll answer it.
And we've also asked the other candidates, do you think you need any of those 40% of California voters to win, and you're saying no, you don't.
No, I'm saying I'm going to try to win every vote I can, and what I'm saying to you is that.
Well, to those voters, okay. So you.
I don't want to keep doing this. I'm going to call it.
She just looks at her staff in the middle of this interview and says she's calling the end of this. She's calling it quits.
This isn't a hostile interview at all.
There's nothing that she's done so far. But the reporter has said to her so far. That is anywhere out of line. These are soft questions.
No, and even if you're Katie Porter in this instance, you can still salvage this. You kind of botched that question or those questions, but you can come back from that.
Don't you also kind of infer here that Katie Porter had the questions beforehand? And it's kind of feeling like the questions that are being asked aren't the ones it seems like she agreed to?
Maybe.
Okay. Thank you.
You're not going to do the interview with us?
Nope, not like this. I'm not. Not with 7 follow-ups to every single question you ask.
Every other candidate has answered our follow-ups.
I don't care. I want to have a pleasant, positive conversation in which you ask me about every issue on this list. And if every question you're going to make up a follow-up question, then we're never going to get there.
Ms.
And we're just going to circle around.
I am an investigative reporter.
I have never
reporter.
Had to do this before, ever.
You've never had to have a conversation with
to end an
reporter.
Interview.
Okay, but every other candidate has done this.
I'm running for governor because I'm a leader. So I am going to make...
So you're not
going to
answer questions from reporters? Okay, why don't we go through... I will continue to ask follow-up questions because that's my job as a journalist, but I will go through and ask these, and if you don't want to answer, you don't want to answer. So nearly every legislative...
I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you, and I don't want this all on camera.
I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you either. I would love to continue to ask these questions so that we can show our viewers what every candidate feels about every one of these issues that they care about. And redistricting is a massive issue. We're going to do an entire story just on the responses to that question. And I've asked everybody the same follow-up question.
Oh my gosh.
Aren't you glad you watched that?
This is an albatross.
And she, of her entire making.
I was going to say, she created it. Oh, no. That was watching a campaign destroyed in real time.
Have you been in conversations with people where they're they're being completely irrational about something, and they're like, I don't want to have an unhappy experience with you. And it's like, then don't.
That was not adversarial.
Not at all. Not at all. She's asking, all she did was say, the initial question was essentially like, what are you going to do about the 40% of voters who voted for Trump?
It's like a generic across the aisle question.
Yeah. The candidate gets to make of that question what they want.
Yeah,
what she made of it was, how dare you?
She just kept doubling down on how dare you. Wow.
Did she feel trapped that she would say, I would try to win over Trump?
Here's what else is weird. If you're going to end an interview, just leave.
Don't stay there.
don't keep taking questions.
I think she might have been wired to the chair with her microphone or
maybe,
something. Because she kind of like reaches around in her dress. Like she's not even wearing that dress and that profile and the setting. It was all bad. There's nothing good about that interview. And she said, she's like, here's the thing. When we book interviews, we're in radio. We have 4 segments an hour. We generally book a guest when we make the request for 10 to 15 minutes. And sometimes they'll come on and they'll say, we have 8 minutes. And that 8 minutes means 8 minutes. I know the rest of us work in, you know, increments of 5 or whatever. 8 minutes is 8 minutes. We ask every single guest that comes on with us, do you have an out time? And if they say, I need to be out at 2:48, I'm going to have them out at 2:47:30 just to make sure that we are respectful of their time. So if she said, if she booked this interview and she said, you know, we've got an hour, you book an hour slot. If the interviewer wants to ask one question with 7 follow-ups and it takes 45 minutes, guess what the interview doesn't get? Answers to questions 6, 7, 8, and 9 because they didn't manage the time and keep the interview going. But for the interviewee to be like, ask the question, she's like pointing to the paper. She's incredibly unlikable. She's incredibly unrelatable. She's incredibly California Democrat. I can't think of a better candidate for it.
The follow-ups were just for clarification because I didn't know what she was talking about. And I don't think she did. The interviewer did either.
What a train wreck.
Wow. Wow. Thanks for playing that.
You're welcome.
I was going to skip that because I thought, Katie Poore, who cares?
That was for you, Ryan.
Thank you.
That was a bright in your day.
Thank you.
All right. Should the Bible be taught in schools? Yes or no? That's the YouTube live chat poll for today. Really curious to see where this shakes out. If a majority of you think yes or no, I'll tell you right now, it's close. If you hustle over and get your vote in, you might be able to tip the scales. Should the Bible be taught in schools? Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The president is holding a roundtable right now at the White House talking about Antifa. And I am so, so heavily leaning into figuring out the funding of all of this stuff. Go follow the money. How many different things have we been assuming is a part of the reality of the situation? All of these. Have you felt like you've been gaslit for the last 10, 15 years? Like what you understand to be normal and true and real, for whatever particular reason, on the public surface, there seems to be a complete and total alternate reality existing. There was an interview, I saw it on Twitter, and this guy was interviewing a protester, and the protester was answering his questions, and the interviewer says to him, "You look familiar. I think I've seen you before. I think I've interviewed you before." And he goes, and he's like, "Were you in Seattle?" Because this is a Chicago guy. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, I was in Seattle. And I did some stuff in California, too." And he started talking about part of the No Kings protest that was in, I don't know, Colorado or Utah or something like that. But this guy starts talking about how he's a protester. And the interviewer says to him, "How do you afford to do this?" And he's like, "Oh, I got a buddy. He takes care of me. He puts me up." But they're paid. They're paid to show up. What's that one outlet that was like a crowd, not crowdfunding, but funding a crowd essentially, where you could buy a crowd of people.
Oh, I remember what
that
you're
was a
story
about. That was out within the last maybe couple months or so. But if you followed the money, and you realize, my question is always how teeny tiny small is the apparatus that causes these protests to happen. I bet you it is shockingly small. And they just know how to replicate the squeaky wheel in Chicago and Seattle and Portland and wherever it needs to be, the money knows how to get that there. And then the cameras go and the reporters go and the influencers go and then they amplify it even more. I mean, we can say even in Ferguson, there were times where the unrest was like this big, but the cameras made it look this big. And there was an element of showmanship that would go behind amplification of these things just because it was sensational. If you follow the money, if you were able to stop the money, if they're investing in crime, oh man, I would love to know the truth of whose dollars are behind
and
this.
How much are we paying for it?
Also,
or have
true,
we been
through like USAID or NGOs or whatever it might be? Get to the bottom of that for sure. Ethan, you want to answer the question, should the Bible be taught in school?
Man, I've really enjoyed hearing the dialogue back and forth between you guys today. I am concerned about the ability to be able to teach it well. False prophecy would be a huge concern for me.
I
would say I'd lean towards no as of now, but I think I could be convinced with further conversation.
You agree with Annie?
I do.
And it sounds like you're kind of agreeing with Ryan.
Ryan is wrong.
Well, a little bit in the middle. I'm playing the politician.
Oh, man, come on.
262 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Should the Bible be taught in school? 58% say yes.
Oh, Ryan. Uh-huh. You win the day. Keep it right here. Mark Reardon on 97.1 FM Talk. St. Louis Conservative next.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.